Game Boys.
Hey, Internet, what's up? Welcome to the Game Boys podcast. My name is Lux. I'm your host. With me, as always, he's not bringing the care. The cup's not coming home, but Griffin's coming to us. It's Griffin Davis.
Yeah, World Cup. It only took 3 years, but we finally won it or lost it.
Okay, it's every 4 years. America didn't qualify and France won. But I was making a joke about English people who say it's coming home.
France won?
Yeah, France won.
Well, now I'm pissed.
Well, why is that?
Just because, America is clearly the best at soccer.
Didn't qualify for the World Cup.
Oh, we didn't qualify? Like, nope. We didn't even get to...
Nope. Okay, cool. We weren't even there.
Well, in that case, viva la France.
Yeah, exactly. Tous les jours is the name of a bakery.
Are you a fan of soccer games? Soccer games are actually one of the ones that I am actually more interested in.
Yeah, I like FIFA a lot. FIFA's a really good game.
Yeah, and League.
Rocket League's amazing.
It's pretty tight.
And I don't know if anyone else played this, probably not, but FIFA Street, during the times they were making street versions of all the EA games, FIFA Street.
Oh, yeah.
Extremely hot shit.
Mm-hmm. Is that the one where you could like kick soccer balls until they turn into fireballs and stuff?
Yeah, and you could like kick them off the wall and like catch them with your foot and like do another move. It was extremely sick.
Why don't they add more wall-based tactics to normal sports in real life?
I don't know, because it goes awesome in hockey. Like, hockey has so many cool wall-based tricks, and then every other sport looked at that and said, we don't need it.
Yeah, more walls, more parkouring, more just obstacle course elements.
Yeah, that's what, what our culture needs right now is a more walls discourse. Course. I think that's what we need to be saying. That's a message we need to be spreading to the people.
Sure. There's good. There's good walls and there's bad walls.
Hey, look. There's good walls on both sides. actually, on all four sides. This is a great house.
We're trapped. But let's not talk about construction. That's not our forte.
No, it's certainly not.
Our profession is gaming. Are you gaming on anything this week?
Oh, buddy. Okay, so for a little background, I'm in D.C. I have to go to a friend's wedding in New York in a couple of days, so I'm out of town. I'm out in Austin right now. And the greatest tragedy of that is that I decided to leave my Switch in Austin so my roommates could play it, which means I cannot play Octopath Traveler. And Octopath Traveler is fucking incredible.
Octopath Traveler, for those who don't know, is a new JRPG for the Nintendo Switch, but it kind of is having a mixed reaction from people.
I think that the reason it's having a mixed reaction is because it sold itself, and sort of like early critic reviews and reactions were like, it's Final Fantasy IX.
Sure.
Or like whatever. And it's like,
see Michael Lyle, Final Fantasy IX Game Boys for when I tear that game apart.
Yeah, check that out. But people were sort of like, it's Final Fantasy IX. It's like, really, let's return to like these older games. And it's like, it takes a lot from older games. It uses a lot of those aesthetics, but it's definitely not that. Mm-hmm. Like, it's basically the way it works is a JRPG and you go around doing stuff, but you have eight characters who are all on their own separate journeys. And you're sort of switching between that character and three others of the party. And like, there's not like a cohesive like world narrative, really. There's just like eight people doing their own thing with some friends.
It's just like, and that's what people are saying. Like, some people love that. Some people hate that, because basically it's just like eight vignette stories and they all feel very same, same.
I don't think they feel very same. I think they feel pretty different. They're mechanically pretty similar, but I think that they're narratively pretty different. And then most significantly for me, I think the game actually solves one of the biggest problems, like video game narrative, which is that like, they're just always so bloated because the games are long. Right, if you're gonna make a good story game, it has to be kind of long, which means the story gets kind of huge, which makes it a mess. But these games have like, since it's split into eight stories, all the stories are pretty neat and quick and clean.
Oh, okay, that's actually a good point. All right, maybe I'll check it out.
Yeah, I would advise it. I think it's really good. Play the demo, play a 3-hour demo, and then if you like it, then you can just
carry
your demo over. What have you been playing, dude? Since apparently it's not Octopath Traveler.
It's not Octopath Traveler. It might be in the future. I want to talk about a moment.
Oh my god. Okay.
It's a moment that I'm sure we've all experienced, but it's a moment when you're playing a game and you realize you're playing a masterpiece. I had that moment 2 days ago with Hollow Knight, which I'm still playing on Nintendo Switch. And it went from being like an intriguing game to a very good game to just like midway through it, me realizing this is one of the best games I have ever play, just on every level. You have to play this game. It is a crime that it's $15. It's a crime.
Yeah, I mean, it's all, you're just stealing quality. at that point.
But I can't recommend it enough. And for people that are scared of hardcore 2D platforming things, I don't like those games either. But something about the language of this game and the way that it challenges and rewards you for paying attention, and just in similar ways that Dark Souls does, it's just the best. And I can't recommend it enough. I
mean, and it fucking super nails that aesthetic of like really cute, but also spooky.
Yeah, which we like, talked about last week.
Yeah, I know we talked about it. I've played it a little bit since then because we got it on my Switch. So I've like played it between Octopath Traveler sessions.
Mm-hmm, okay, but this is the last time I'll talk about it, I promise.
All right, it's still real. I'm going to talk about Octopath Traveler again once I'm back in Austin and get to play it again, because I'm going to be away from my boys for 2 weeks. My boys and my girls.
Sure, yeah.
It's a real gender even game. But Griffin, we got a guest today because we do this show and we usually have a guest. And why don't you introduce him this time around?
Yes, we have an excellent guest. He was in a small car accident on his way here and still decided to show up for the Game Boys.
Oh, hell yeah. Not that you got a car accident.
He is a very funny man. Sketch comedian Dan Duddy's in the house, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome.
Hey, guys.
Welcome, Dan.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Thank you for sacrificing so much to be here.
Well, yeah, I'm very brave. Yes.
Yeah, extremely courageous, honestly. Yeah.
But the car's doing all right. There wasn't too much damage, and the guy seemed nice, and I'm sure he'll call me back, or I'll call him back, and you know, we'll get everything fixed up.
Yeah, he's not going to ghost you.
No, not at all.
We'll probably get insurance for that, and maybe, just maybe, you'll make a friend.
Most car accidents I get into, I make friends. That's why I get into car accidents.
Sure. That's a good motivation. Today's a funny day because you had a car accident. I got stuck in 2 hours of traffic, and the first thing I did after I got off out of the car was do this podcast. And then Griffin has just been hanging out and having a nice time playing Hollow Knight all day.
I went grocery shopping and it was hot outside. So, okay, yes, but sure. Enough about us. We don't make sacrifices because this is our dumb podcast. He actually decided to lose 2 hours of his life to come to my house. So, Dan,
sure.
Let's learn a little bit more about you. You know, you're a friendly guy. I've met you around doing comedy around LA, sure. But you know, you're still a mystery to me. I still don't know a lot about you. Where are you from?
All right, I'll pull back the veil. I'm a New Jersey guy.
Okay.
Word.
Kind of North Jersey, like where the Sopranos takes base.
Sure.
Place.
Sure.
Yeah.
So like kind of like wooded, cul-de-sac-y kind of
wooded, cul-de-sac-y
New England looking vibe.
Yeah. Where
more New York suburb than Philly suburb.
More. Exactly. Yeah. Right. We say Taylor Ham. We don't say pork roll. If you're a New Jersey guy, that's the divide.
Yeah, okay. Right. Sure.
Yeah. For sure. And that checks out. The
borders are defined by food.
Right. Everywhere. Mm-hmm. Borders are defined by food and like sports teams, I guess. So North Jersey, we're Giants fans. South Jersey, it's Eagles people. And that's pretty much it. That's the only way. But it's somehow we all hate each other because of it.
Okay. So you are in New Jersey.
Yeah.
And were you doing comedy out there or did you move to LA and start doing comedy?
I started doing comedy out here. Right now I'm doing sketch comedy. I also work for cracked.com.
Oh, nice.
America's number one humor website. That's right.
Number one humor website.
That's what they claim. I think it's 14th is on the metrics, but you know, in our hearts it's number one.
What kind of stuff do you write for them?
Right now I'm doing, it's kind of like a jack of all trades is everyone. Kind of it's all hands in, you write articles and stuff. Right now I'm doing the store promotional columns.
The store promotional columns. So what are you promoting?
Headphones.
Okay.
Headphones. Nice.
How do these compare? I got these
They're probably great. Yeah.
These are about $12 on Amazon Prime.
Yeah, no, that's probably a great. Oh, today's Prime Day. Shout out to that.
Celebrate the workers in the dungeons
by not using Prime. That's what you do. Don't use Prime today.
Oh, but there's so many good deals. People
Prime
keep telling me
tomorrow.
I've been watching Handmaid's Tale, and Prime Day sounds like some kind of thing from that show, where it's like the bell toll rings and everyone has to march into the street for Prime Day.
Dude, I can't even watch that show anymore because it's so sad. Like, I just...
Yeah. It's a very, is masochistic the word? I'm not sure.
It's rough. It's definitely rough.
And it rings so real to... Like all the only thing I used to watch like all these like intense dramas, and now it's just MasterChef Junior,
sure,
all the way through.
Oh, I've said before, I only watch competitive shows that have Junior at the end of them.
Oh, like, otherwise it's not.
I don't watch adult competitive shows anymore. Every competitive show should also have a Junior version.
All right. I do watch adult competitive shows, but I like MasterChef Junior above all. It's so good. I've been catching up on the most recent season just this past couple weeks, and it is fucking fire.
Yeah, Gordon's
like imagine the Amazing Race Junior. Like imagine like children having to like find their way around the world.
Holy shit.
Wouldn't that be way more interesting?
When I was 9, I got lost in an airport and everyone thought I was dead. So I feel like these children would not do a great job of,
of look, that. All I'm doing is raising the stakes. But okay, so you're right for
raising the kids.
We've had this conversation before. I'm sorry. So you do sketch comedy out here, right?
That's right.
You're on a team, a very funny team called Gunslinger. We said it at the same time. Thank you for that. how long you guys been doing that?
We've been doing Gunslinger now. It's been 2 years, but we came up as a class together. So the three of us, we've all been writing for about 3 years together. Mm-hmm. And it's interesting because, you know, your team, very famous. There's some Gunslinger parallels where I think we kind of pride ourselves a little bit on kind of stepping out, being like a little bit edgy.
But oh, God.
Our thing is that I don't think we've ever towed the line successfully. But I feel like you guys are able to do that.
There's at least a couple of sketches that y'all have done, Griff, that do succeed at that. There are also a couple that do not. I think that's important to note before we get too happy.
Yeah, I wish some of them weren't on YouTube for sure.
So Dan, here's a question for you that I have.
Please.
What made you move from New Jersey, from the dirty Jersey, to nice, clean, fancy L.A.?
Mostly ignorance.
Okay, that's why most people move there.
Yeah, I think me personally, I've just never, I'm a 27-year-old man who hasn't had the reality broken yet. You know, that like the world is still a good place. I still believe that.
Currently?
Yeah, even currently, I'm still that naive. And I think even then I was even worse. That I just was like, oh, I'll just do this and it'll work out fine. And it did, which is kind of the craziest part, was that it did. But looking back, I go, oh my God, like none of this should. I moved. I had a one-way ticket and I had a suitcase and I stayed with my friend for a week. And I was like, yeah, I'm just going to be a comedian. I'm just going to be a comedy writer. And somehow just, I guess, things worked out well enough that I can live without, you know, I can support myself.
I hate this story really so nice. Fucking much. This is my least favorite story I've ever heard.
Well, it's funny because it's basically what happened to me, too.
No, like, shit happened.
I just left New York with no job and was like, I'm just going to do movie stuff and write. And then now I do. Like actually, one of my old Bard professors messaged me recently and was like, hey, Lux, we're at the like end of the like closing. I guess it was like back in like May or April. He's like, Lux, we're towards the end of the year. And do you have any advice for like other film kids? Cause we always get together these like Bard alumni, like how you guys doing? Like, what do you want to do when you're done? And I was like, no, if any kid does what I did after college, they're like totally boned. Like my shit was purely luck. Like I have no good advice just to like avoid. Don't do what Dan did and don't do what I did.
I think both of you guys are, you know, from what I know of both of you, are very likable personalities and energy wise. I'm not a nice person. And so I feel like
covered on the A-Lug last episode.
I feel like I've already like excluded a lot of opportunities just on that basis.
That's not
like,
my take on it.
Well, when I see you, I want to help you. You just seem like a nice guy. And that's just not the same for me.
I'm recording. Hold on. My mom is here. Mom, I am recording a podcast. Mom! Please do not yell.
Haley, please keep this in.
Tell her to come on.
What, Mom? Sure.
Does your mom play League of Legends?
No, my mom does not play League of Legends.
Spoiler alert. Man. That's what this episode's about. You saw the title. You know what the game's about.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. The title of every episode is the name of the game we're going to talk about. So
it's not a secret.
It's certainly not. And Griffin, I think you have the backwards. Like what you said is actually very insightful. It's not that I think that Well, Dan admittedly does come off extremely likable. I'm not sure that I do. But what you is guys true are, is that
fuck
we,
you
both,
guys.
We both definitely...
both oh, you think I'm likable? fucking nice shirt.
Both Dan and I have a thing.
That's the...
that's the I really skewered him.
The meanest thing you could come up with.
both Dan and I have a thing, and you can sort of tell it's sort of like it takes one to know one thing. We're like, we both are kind of people who people see us and are like, oh, I want to help you because you need it.
Right. No, that's what it is. Yeah.
And you look like a person who doesn't need help because you look like you're okay.
yeah, people like, fuck this guy. Let's take him down a peg. Yeah,
exactly. That's and we've talked about this on the show before, but yeah, I think that's pretty much what's going on here. I don't think it's a likability thing so much as like a pity mechanism from like inborn like mother tendencies in humans.
Sure. Okay. Well, I'll take all that to heart. back to you, Dan.
Yeah.
You're in New Jersey. Now you're in LA. All your dreams worked out immediately and mm-hmm. you didn't have to try hard. And
that's not exactly how it happened, but right. Yeah.
Where were video games over the course of your life? What role did they have?
Video games, they were big. When I moved out here, I stopped playing nearly as much. I realized pretty quickly that I have full-blown video game addiction.
Nice.
To it. And I was telling Griffin earlier that I just recently got back into it. I started playing Crusader Kings 2. I don't know if you've ever played that, Lux.
Oh, I've heard of it, but I haven't gotten around to it, but I've heard about it and I've heard positive things.
So it's like Civilization, and I played a Game of Thrones mod, really nerdy, and I basically just threw myself into the world of Song of Ice and Fire.
Ooh.
And in a month's period of time, I logged probably 250 hours. So
that's great.
Yeah, that's
of the 30 days I played, 10 full days were just this game.
Yeah.
I worked, I played this game, and I lost 7 pounds. And also, I would recommend that as a diet.
Wow. Yeah. Which mod is this? I need to go to the gym. I've been trying a few other mods. I've been trying some Skyrim mods, and I just can't burn them.
Actually, we talked about a mod for this game on this show before. I don't know if we ever released that episode, but this was the game that had the dick size mod. Like the sex mod we talked about months and months ago. Do you remember that, Griffin?
Yes.
Yeah, this is that game where like you can have like boners be a functional variable in the context of creating your kingdom and shit.
For Crusader Kings.
Wait, for Crusader Kings, you could just have
part of.
I don't think you got.
It's like a stat. The dick size is a stat that can affect things.
Yeah, right, because that's
like
not
diplomatic relationships.
So it's like if you have a small one, like you might be crazy and like talk about your nukes.
Hey, topical.
Oh man.
We
really got
here.
Kim Jong on that.
Yeah. Anyways, guys, I'm signing off after that one. You can find me burning Trump on Twitter
at #theresistance.com.
Yeah. So video games in your life, you have video game addiction.
Yeah.
So it's something that you really try to avoid now.
Now I have to really discipline myself. So if I'm going to play video games, it has to be something that doesn't have an addictive, like I can't play a Destiny. I can't play an RPG. I need to play a Cuphead or a what was it?
Something contained.
Yeah, exactly.
Hollow Knight.
Thank you. Although I haven't played, but does that have RPG elements?
It has RPG elements. Yeah, there's
stat. So I probably have to stay away.
Well, I mean, it's not, it's a 40 hour game.
Okay, then there you go. I'll knock that out in 40 hours.
55 if you want to 100% it.
Right.
Do you 100% games,
60
by the way?
if you're a bad person.
Do I 100% games?
Yeah, do you do that? Are you one of those? A lot of my friends who say that they are addicted to video games and mean it in a real way are people who 100% games.
I don't 100% games.
Me neither.
Instead, what I do is I will play. Like I'll just go through all the different scenarios. I'm big into simulation games, so I was like really big into Madden, but the franchise mode, really nerdy. I won't 100% games. Recently too, I've been getting into speedrunning. Have you guys seen that at all?
We some of the games I play are so bad or so hard on this podcast that I just watch the speedrun.
So that's the other sad thing I do to cope with my video game addiction is that I don't play anymore. I just watch other people play.
Sure.
It's really sad. It's like watching people
eat. I've been talking to a lot of people be like, yeah, I don't play games. I just read Kotaku. And I'm like, what?
Yeah, that is weird to me, right? Like, how do you even understand what they're talking about? Because games are so experiential. Like,
It's like watching a rotisserie of smoking meats and never taking a bite.
Right. But somehow that fulfills
it's like
you.
Just yeah. Watch, yeah, I don't know why. But we've been talking about lots of games. Mm-hmm. But I think we should get into the game that Dan has brought on today, which is going to bring a lot of emotion on this podcast. So I think we need to just into a little history about this game.
This game that no one knows what it's going to be. It's a big surprise. Here we go. Big
yeah, review. Drum roll, please.
Pull back the curtain. Time for the prestige.
In 1998, a mod for StarCraft called Aeon Strife was created by community member Aeon64. No one predicted at the time that this new game mode would lay the groundwork for an entire new genre of game, the multiplayer online battle arenas, or MOBA for short. Then, in 2002, another modder by the name of Yule ported the code to Warcraft 3 engine and named it Defense of the Ancients, or as it would be popularly referred to as Dota. Dota became one of the most popular mods of all time, eclipsing the popularity of the original game it was modded from. At the end of 2005, two USC roommates teamed up with the original map designer of the Dota mod because they believed the gameplay was so much fun and so innovative that it represented the spawning of a new genre and deserved to be its own professional game. In 2006, they formed Riot Games, and in 2009, they released League of Legends. League has among the largest footprints of any game in streaming media communities like YouTube and Twitch TV, and in September 2016, the company estimated that there are over 100 million active players each month. This may be one of the most popular games of all time, but will it win the Game Boy's fancy? I'll let the boys decide with League of Legends.
Love it. Love
that
it.
That was one of those. Sometimes we do those and it's just like really good, but I've also read the Wikipedia, but this one actually had a lot of information that I didn't know.
Like what?
I didn't know that it was started as a StarCraft mod. I thought it started as Warcraft 3.
Yeah, that was something I didn't know either. Yeah, 1998, baby.
What about StarCraft makes it good for... Whatever, doesn't matter. But yeah, so aside from my misgivings about StarCraft, what made you want to talk about League of Legends in particular?
Well, League, so many things. I'm a huge... there's so many aspects of it. I was huge into the game. I played for... Since it started. But what I love about League of Legends the most is the competitive scene. The esports sure. aspect.
Okay.
I'm wearing my CLG jersey.
Oh, wow. Good, because we're going to take a picture after this, and that's perfect.
Yeah. So this is, I'm repping CLG Afromu, who's no longer on the team, but was a longtime support player. That's one of the roles on the team. They've in League of Legends support bot lane, mid lane, top lane, jungler.
Oh, man. This guy knows about this game.
I know. Yeah. I know too much about this game, but I love it.
No, this is great.
And what I love the most about MOBAs now, about gaming, is that it's become competitive and it's become communal. You know, you play with your friends. I have so many online mm-hmm. friends sure. that I've never seen in person, but I would invite to my wedding. Absolutely.
I feel the same way about a few World of Warcraft people that I still connect with.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Like I played with like five dudes consistently in World of Warcraft for like 5 years. And sometimes they'll like donate to a Kickstarter I have or something like that.
Yeah.
Like, or like one of them sent me like his entire paintball kit just because he wanted to get rid of it. I don't know. There's just been like weird stuff like that, you know, weird relationships with strangers you have in these online games.
Yeah, you get a lot of that. And definitely League is like probably like a premium breeding ground for that because there's so much communication built into the game. Like you were saying, there are all these positions and roles you'll have to fill and things you'll have to do. And so talking, communicating is like a huge part of like how the game works, right? Which is both why it's so good and also why it has some of its like toxicity problems we'll probably talk about later.
Absolutely. Yeah. And that's where it's going. It's having its problems right now. And it's looking like, and that's the sad thing, it's looking like it might finally, for 5 years at least, it was the king. It was
sure. Well, it can't be king forever.
But it can't be king forever. And now
that's
games
how kings
like
work.
Yo, that is how kings work. Holy shit. Yo,
take that, Trump.
I got to really think on this. Yeah, there's some Game of Thrones shit going on with everything, even in gaming. But yeah, it was at the top. And right now,
like Twitch and stuff
of yeah. Twitch mm-hmm. always. And now Overwatch, Fortnite, these are games that are taken over. And, you know, it's sad. It's sad to see for me as a big time League guy, this Titan, this king falling.
So let's talk more about just like the basic tenets of the game
sure.
for people who haven't played it. You seem like you know a lot about it, but to me, it's like you have a map. Mm-hmm. It's kind of like a bird's eye view perspective. You're looking down on a map, and the characters are small, and you click to move around the map. What is there? Five players on each team that like fight each other.
Five players,
that's correct?
Yep.
And your goal is to like destroy the other team's base, correct?
Yes.
Okay, I got all that right. Now that sounds in a lot of ways like the same tenets of a game we did last week, Overwatch.
Yes.
But this game has like 140 characters.
Yes.
To me, that sounds crazy. Tell me why that's awesome.
It's not awesome, actually. It's crazy. Okay. It's too many characters.
Yeah. Okay, great.
It's too many characters. But Overwatch, I mean, it's no coincidence. Overwatch was a direct response to League of Legends. You know, Overwatch was League of Legends, but a shooter. You know, so all of those roles that mm-hmm. came from Overwatch, that was them looking at it and being like, oh, people like this specialization. People like, they don't mm-hmm. want it to just be Call of Duty where you're one guy yeah. who just comes out.
As many kills as possible.
Yeah. Right. Mm-hmm. They want to be able to have a different role. Role on yes. the team and support in a different way. Mm-hmm. That's directly from League of Legends, except it takes it from a shooter standpoint.
I mean, I disagree because there's been other games that have done that. I feel like World of Warcraft Arenas did that even before
sure.
League did. You know,
well, actually, no. So sorry, like fuck yeah. The other thing with League of Legends is that League of Legends is the McDonald's of yeah. MOBAs.
Yeah, definitely.
It didn't really invent anything. It yeah. just made it popular.
Exactly. Yeah, yeah, that's actually what's so interesting about it is that they're like, this was good. What if it was like a real thing? Like, what if we sold it?
Right. Yeah. Right. What if we had a billion customers?
This thing you other guys made is really cool. What if we, different people, sold it? Right. And they're like, yeah, perfect. Great. Well, here's a quick thing. You mentioned sort of you ran through the positions and we talked about how in Overwatch is like these different roles. Like, what are the different positions and roles? How do they work in something like League of Legends versus in Overwatch, where it's sort of straightforward?
Sure. So in League, you're trying to destroy the other team's base. There's three different lanes. So there's the top lane, the middle lane, and the bottom lane. Those are your damage dealers. Traditionally, top lane. You know, the meta is always changing too, and that's the other thing that I love about League. Is I think about League of Legends when I think about writing, when I think about comedy. Only once I started playing video games, did I start thinking about the meta game. This is so nerdy, but it's true. Like, so even though you have these roles, and this is what I'm trying to, my point, they will change. You know what I mean?
Right.
You know, so a top laner usually traditionally builds tanky, but sometimes he's going to be a damage dealer and sometimes he's going to be supportive depending on the patch and depending on what other people are playing. You have these three roles. You also have a jungler who kind of works in between the lanes.
He just juggles. He's not helpful. But it's like team morale.
Yeah. It's just good.
That's me.
In a jungle, like, you know, the wild. And then you have a supportive role who usually traditionally stays in the bottom lane with your highest damage dealer to kind of, you know, feed him, get him nice and big and strong.
Okay. So, yeah.
I know I kind of just blew past all that.
No,
I don't know if anyone that sunk in.
No, that was good. I think that was pretty comprehensive, actually. I think that was pretty clear.
Now, so a good team composition mm-hmm. is required to win.
Yes.
It seems like that would be really hard to do with 100 billion characters. Or are there structure to make people pick a team comp?
Absolutely. So all the characters that Riot releases are usually, especially now, when they started off, they were just random characters mm-hmm. and it was up to the player base to kind of figure out where they fit. Mm-hmm. Now Riot releases them specialized and say, this is going to be a top laner. This is going to be a top lane bruiser. This is going to be a damage dealing jungler. This is going to be a roaming support, you know, and they know what they're doing.
So you're saying jungler?
Jungle.
Yeah,
jungler.
Like jungle to jungle, the Tim Allen movie.
Yeah. I don't like that reference.
The most famous and classic and easily pulled use of the word jungle anywhere in history.
Jungle to jungle.
So what does a jungler do?
So a jungler, that's something I
don't even know.
There's creatures within on this map. There's creatures within these lanes, between the lanes,
like called, little minions, right?
They call the minions the creatures in the lanes, and the ones outside the lanes are jungle monsters. So the jungler's job is to farm the jungle monsters. But how the jungler works in this game? Oh my god.
Just the jungler sounds like a scrapped Batman villain.
The jungler sounds like a
draft that got rolled up and tossed in the trash.
They're like, no, we'll go with this guy who does riddles.
The jungler sounds like a wrestler who wrestles in like a promotion that hits like two counties a year. It just comes out. It's like from parts unknown. Yeah. It's the jungler. And it's like a little racist, but no one's sure. Yeah, how mad they should be.
Oh, it's right. It's definitely racist for sure. It's definitely racist, but and the jungler's job is to go within, and he's kind of like a damage. He's a roaming damage dealer, if that makes sense.
Okay,
he goes everywhere.
That's an unusual role, and that sounds very specific to the League of Legends format.
Yeah, and you'll see that in Dota.
As opposed to like DPS tank support from most other games.
Right.
Well, I mean, correct me if I'm wrong, because I've watched a fair amount of Dota and League of Legends, so I have some familiarity, although I haven't played it very much. But like, the reason the jungler is specific to League is that you have these three lanes and people need like beef backup that can get there kind of quickly, that is constantly growing and getting stronger. So the jungler is able to like level up, but also move between like team fight locations.
Or Lux is that not gets even it, baby. No, you got it.
I want to talk about the map for a second now that we're talking about the map. Are there multiple maps and are there different shapes of maps?
There is traditionally in the competitive world, there is one map.
Oh, that's hell nuts. Yeah.
There is one map. And that
you
I
like
love.
That, Lux?
I love that. If you're really? Gonna, if like, well, it's the same way, like, I get pissed off at baseball because the fields are shaped differently everywhere. So it's like, what are you doing? It's like, if you're going to compete and be like, who's the best at the tactics of this game? It's like, even everything stays the same. The only thing that changes are players and tactics.
Hell yeah.
And then that's,
it's like basketball. That'd be weird if the like one time you just showed up to the court and there was just a mountain in the middle of the court. Right. Like,
if the Jazz played in a stadium that was full of saxophones, like on the court, that would be a mess.
This goes back to my thing about wanting sports to be an obstacle course. And I'm completely on the other side of the argument. Like saxophone sounds like I'm in. Like, how do I buy the
honestly, I think that's lame. If that's your obstacle, it's that we have to listen to jazz.
No, like there's a bunch on the ground, you could like run over.
Okay. No, you never know. Like someone, like a point guard, might just pick one up and just start blasting away, just to distract you, or shooting a three. Like, who knows?
You can do what you want with the saxophones.
Yeah, those are free range saxophones, artisanally made, free trade. No cage saxophones.
Okay, so one map. All right, go on.
There's one map. Riot's released other maps for other game modes, but what we came to play is Summoner's Rift, the 5v5.
Sure.
One map, cool. And everything else is just you're fooling around.
All right. So this is your favorite team, the shirt you're wearing right now?
CLG, that's right. Okay. Counter Logic Gaming.
Was this like was League of Legends how you got into esports?
Yeah.
Yeah. It was just like this was the game that brought you into it.
Yeah, absolutely. And CLG was one of the first competitive there were two North American esports teams to come out, and that was TSM and CLG. TSM is Team Solo Mid, CLG is Counter Logic Gaming, and they came from just these guys who were really good season one, learning about the game and started these organizations from nothing. And now that just shows the scope of League of Legends. They've spawned and they've grown. TSM has a huge Super Smash Brothers scene, huge in CSGO, Counter-Strike. I'm pretty sure they have Overwatch teams, you know, so from League, they were able to branch out and kind of support these other esports.
Right. Like a lot of American esports teams sort of have the same model as Korean teams that started out with StarCraft and expanded into things like Dota and stuff and Warcraft 3 and League of Legends. But in America, we started with League of Legends because everything starts a little slower over here.
So like, I feel like what Overwatch is doing smartly, and I don't know much about the League of Legends esports teams, maybe you can correct me, but one thing that Overwatch maybe realize is like, oh, like if you give the teams a city name, it like just makes it all of a sudden stops being a foreign language. Like I'm a huge gamer, and like half the stuff you mentioned just sounded like foreign to me. Like cool. It sounded like a language I couldn't really get into or get around, or just like a different world I'm not versed in. But when they give it like, oh, this is the New York Excelsior team or whatever, it's like, oh, I get sports now, you know?
Hell yeah. No, they're not really doing that for the most part. And that's really interesting to me because to me, it doesn't sound like a foreign language because I was like I grew up in it almost, you know.
Okay.
It's my native language at this point. Uh-huh. But that's really cool. Yeah, maybe we should write to them and be like, hey, put a New York in front of CLG or something.
If this was the Dallas CLG or something like that, I feel like that would just make it feel more like a sport.
Yeah, interesting. I mean, it's like and I think this might also have to do with the fact that professional gaming started not in the US, but like they're named a lot more like weird football, like soccer teams rather than like sports teams here.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
Like you have your like Sporting Atletico de Festivo Barcelona or whatever. And it's like, what is that? That's not anything. And same with College of Gaming or Team Shalom Mid. They're like, they don't have a place and they have these longer names. It's not just the simple like place mascot breakdown that we're so used to in like Western sports, or American sports at least. And I think that Overwatch League definitely capitalized on that in a huge way. Like a lot of their popularity, you're right, Griffin, just comes from like, it's so hard. Like for me, okay, this is a good way to explain it. Like for me watching Dota League of Legends, I don't know how to pick a team. Everyone's names are just like a gibberish combination of like consonants. And then they're like, this team is a real one. And I'm like, right. I don't know how to distinguish between them. Then I'm watching Overwatch. They're like, oh, this team's from New York. I'll root for them. Right. Like that's the closest one to where I'm from. And it makes it a lot easier to just pick a team and get invested. Whereas I don't have to like look up what CLG stands for and like why Counter Logic Gaming. Blah, 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 blah. And just be like, DC, hooray.
Yeah, esports just needs to copy the playbook of T-Sports.
Yeah, T-Sports wrote the rules. Esports just needs to fill in the gaps.
What is T-Sports?
Traditional sports.
Oh, cool.
A phrase we coined a long time ago when we used to do an esports segment that I don't think ever actually aired.
I heard someone else say T-Sports on a different podcast. I think we have to come for them hard and fast and squash the rebellion.
I think we've been bugged. I mean, this is a public podcast, I guess. I don't think we've been bugged.
So we talked about the online competitive scene, but I have a question about whenever we have an online game, we like to ask a question about toxicity.
Totally.
This, again, I hate to make a comparison to Overwatch, but we did that last week. Overwatch, you cannot talk to the other team. You can only talk to your team. And I'm pretty sure in League of Legends, you can talk to the other team,
yes.
Right? And so, which me opens up this whole can of worms of like, this game is about trash talk.
No, to me, it's tough. Everyone handles toxicity differently. I happen to like it. I don't know. From a T-sports background, I think that's cool as shit to be able to go up to your opponent and be like, hey man, I'm about to stomp you.
Sure.
Not everyone deals with it great. I think the real toxicity problems, though, it doesn't even matter. It comes within your own team. It comes from people flaming each other about not being good enough and why they're losing. Very rarely is it you being able to reach across the, you know, to the other team and get in their head. I don't think that's really a big problem.
And I think that like the competition is a mediating factor for that kind of trash talk where it's like, oh, you said something mean to me because you want me to lose because we're enemies right now. But we won't be enemies when this is over. Whereas like if your friend is like, you suck and you're bad at this game, it's like, oh, you're my friend and I have to deal with you a bunch more. And like, that's much more hurtful and like a thing you have to take more seriously than someone being like, you're dumb and bad. I'm on the other team.
Yeah. I mean, and like you boot up solo queue, you know, so you're not even playing with your friends. You're all trying to grind. You're trying to climb the ladder. And it's people have different levels of, you know, we talk about Sketch all the time. Being on a Sketch team, it's hard enough. You know, it's hard enough when you're all doing something what you think is a professional capacity to get together and work together. Now take that with online strangers. It's kind of a wonder that people are able to make it work at all. But it's still frustrating when they don't.
Yeah. If our Sketch teams were only online, it would be dicey.
It'd be hard to watch the sketches. Like, that's for sure. It'd be extremely difficult to just watch the code, I guess. Okay, well, here's a question I have for you. Because my League of Legends experience was very strange. It came out my first year of college and a bunch of my friends got really into it and I had no idea what it was. And so like all of a sudden there's this thing all my friends were doing and it was very confusing to me and weird and I didn't like it. But what was like, how did you get in League of Legends? Like how did it start for you? Was it like sort of people start doing it or did you discover it on your own or like how did this?
No, my friends got into it and, what's so cool is that, you know, it was also, I think my first year of college and because we're in college, we were just able to play together. We had LAN parties. It was real cool stuff. And, but it actually was like we would all play and just grind and grind and grind. And it became a very big social communal experience.
Yeah, that's very different than how it played. It was funny. It was weird to me. It's weird because I think we had the quantity for it to be that where I was going to college. Like there were like five or six of my friends who played all the time. They just never played like together. Like it was their response to communal activity. It'd be like, oh, I'll do communal stuff for a while, then I'm gonna go play League for 4 hours.
I mean, we would do that too. You know, like it's not like I don't know what you're picturing, but it wasn't like all of us every day.
You guys
like,
all holding hands,
right? Yeah. And the like girls came up and they're yeah, like, ooh.
I imagine that you guys never let go of each other, and you guys are permanently attached and always walking around and sort of like a game strapped to your chest.
No, I mean, pretty much. I've definitely missed classes for League, but not always. Yeah, yeah. It was great. It was great.
Yeah, I mean, it seems like a very dope game. Okay, so here's another one. Why League versus Dota out of when presented with the two options? What does League offer you
that
Dota
doesn't?
Well, isn't League just like an actually like patched and updated game?
But Dota's a patched and updated game now too. Like Valve makes it, the same people make Steam.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Well, those are, so I could, you know, if you want the actual specific differences about Dota, I'm not a big Dota guy. What they do say about Dota 2 is that it is a higher mechanically skill cap game. So basically you have to have faster reaction time. Okay. You have to, League is a little bit more, to my knowledge, about the meta, right? So you have those 140 champions and that is where the skill comes in. It's fucking remembering all those champions.
Oh, yeah, I hate that.
All that information and just being an encyclopedia of knowledge. And that's how you get your edge.
Right.
Dota, you just have to be, you know, have faster twitch muscles or whatever to make it work.
Right. Which is why, honestly, for like a neophyte like myself, Dota is actually kind of a more fun esport because it's like a little bit quicker and a little bit more quick twitchy to watch, whereas like League of Legends is a little bit more,
it's intimidating to all of a sudden try to be good at a game that you like have to learn 140 characters. Yeah.
No, I mean, like, don't get me wrong, I like watching both of them and I'm terrified to even try playing either of them because there's an overwhelming amount of shit involved. But it makes sense that Dota, if you're someone like me who doesn't know the character interactions at all, like League of Legends loses a huge component of it, where Dota retains more of that because it's like a more clicky based.
For either of them, though, you guys being gamers and like playing, having played MOBAs before, to me, like you get you can port that anywhere. If you started playing a MOBA at any time, yeah, you don't know all the specifics of the characters, but everyone sucks. You know what I mean? You could go in and you could do pretty well until you get the hang of it. Because the things you learn, the skills you learn about like laning, about like just not like jumping in and getting annihilated, you know, like those are things that are universal to all MOBAs that most people just are too dumb to even know. So I think you guys be all right. If you want to try.
Yeah, everyone's trash and stupid. And I think that is a perfect time to take a little commercial break.
Hi, I'm movie star TV actor Colin Hanks, and for the longest time, I was afraid that I didn't even exist. I wasn't sure if anyone knew if I was a real person. I thought maybe I was a ghost. So I went to a specialist, and he assured me that I wasn't a ghost. Get checked up today at www.ghostbusters.com, and you can decide what's right for you. But make sure before you get into a relationship with a friend or a family or new home to get tested for ghosts. Be safe, be smart, get busted.
Hey there, Internet. Welcome back to the Game Boys podcast. I'm still Lux. I'm still your host. Your co-host is still Griffin Davis. And your guest is still Dan Dutton?
Duddy.
Yeah. Duddy. Damn it. Well, whatever. Dunn's cool. I fuck up a name every podcast. Sometimes it's mine, sometimes it's Griffin, sometimes it's the guests. And this time, sorry, it's you. But we're back, and that means you guys know what time it is. It's time to rate that game, boys. So what we're going to do is go around in a circle and give the game a rating of 1 to 5 joysticks and a little bit of a synopsis and final thoughts on the game. And you're our guest, Dan, so we are starting with you.
All right, so this one's tough for me because I don't even know. I could get really heady about it. Like, I don't even know if MOBAs fit the joystick paradigm, you know, like to me, the greatest games of all time, were like Zelda, you know, things that were like immersive where this is, it's almost different to me. It's like you're playing a sport. That said, I think for a lot of reasons, League of Legends at one point could have been a 5 joysticker. I think right now it's at a 3.5 with all the toxicity, with all the patch changes. It's not on a good patch. It's just a little bit stale. It's been almost 8 years. I'm going to give it a 3.5.
Wow. That is a very mature rating. I appreciate it.
That is a stark and mature rating. Thanks, for someone who brought in the game. Yeah, usually people say 5 and then Griffin's like, don't do that. And then they're like, okay, 4.
Shit, man. All right. Yo, it's 5 stars, guys. 5, I love this game.
5 stars, 3.5 joysticks, and 10 schmeckles. Okay, I'll go next.
Is that a weird thing? Anyways.
So
I've been keeping a secret, guys, this entire podcast. I really hate this form of game.
Whoa.
I really don't like MOBAs. I don't like bird's eye view games. They just never like feel like they matter that much to me. And I like positioning in a more like tactile way than like point and click. But I always rate the games based on, are they achieving what they set out to achieve? And they're setting out to achieve, try and make the best MOBA game. And for that, I think they succeed in a lot of ways. I do not like there's 140 characters. I think that is just too many. And it leads to like a super unbalanced game. I don't like that there's only one map. But there seems to be a lot of cool things they've done with it. It's obviously very popular and a bunch of people really love the heck out of it. So yeah, it's a 3.5 for me too, even though I just don't like this form of game. I'm going to give it a 3.5.
All right. Oh, well, I think we're all going to end up the same score for very different reasons.
I was so scared to give it a 3.5 because you came in with the shirt on and everything. And I was like, this guy's going to kill me if I don't give it a rating.
Well, here's the thing. You'll have to kill me too, because I'm also going to give it a 3.5. But for different reasons. My thing is this: with League and with Dota also and other MOBAs, thinking about them and watching them and like cognating on them is like extremely fun and very cool and very interesting. The idea of playing them sounds like a fucking nightmare to me. Sounds sure. fucking terrible.
Uh-huh.
I don't think I would have fun. I think I'd get confused. I think I'd get yelled at. I think I would get frustrated. it's just not the kind of thing that I have fun with. And so my calculation for this was that I think that in my imaginary brain, it's 5 out of 5. And in my realist brain, it's 2 out of 5. So I combine those, cool. divided by 2, 3.5. Here we are.
Yay, guys. We're twinning, or we're threening.
Can I ask you guys something?
We're trip letting it rain. Sorry.
We're trip letting right now.
What was a 5 out of 5?
No. Well, what's the lowest score you've given a game so far?
We've given Superman 64 a 1 out of 5.
Yeah. And also our 64. Friend Mason Pitluck gave the game everything a 1 out of 5, but that was sort of a confusing rating. No, we give it a 1 out of 1.
It was a thematic on brand rating.
It was a 1 out of 1 because everything is 1. Right. I forgot why you did that.
Because 1's the loneliest number.
Yeah.
All right. And what is a 5 since you brought it up? What's a 5?
Well, we rated Katamari Damacy a 5 out of 5.
Mm-hmm.
You did as well, Lux,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, I did. And there was another one, I think, around there too.
Did you rate God of War 5 out of 5?
I don't think I gave it a 5. I think I gave it a 4 out of 5.
There's been a few games that it's just like, well, this may not be even in my top 3, but like, does it achieve exactly what it's trying to do? And does it like have is that experience like 100%?
I love the integrity.
So Katamari definitely was that, even though it's not even in my top 10, but like, it just is like the perfect of what it is.
Cool.
That was great, everyone. But now it's time for everyone's favorite segment made entirely out of segments. That's right, ladies and gentlemen, it's time for the segment. We've got a couple of segments, and I think Griffin, your segment is first.
That's right, guys. Welcome back. It's been a few weeks. It's Riddle Me This. That's right, ladies and gentlemen. I am a popular video game character from a major video game franchise, and you have 3 riddles to guess who I am. Now, Dan, I'm going to give you 3 riddles. You get a guess, and then you can move on. You can start whittling it down, and you can phone Alex for help if need be.
Great.
So, riddle number 1. I'm an explorer of archaeology. I'm known to steal treasure with no apology.
Lara Croft?
Fuck!
I mean, Pikachu, give me the other 2 riddles.
There's 3 riddles for Lara Croft.
Yeah, no, I know.
I understand the game, but...
I know you worked really hard on them too. I'm sorry.
I spent 8 minutes on this.
Did you really?
No, sometimes my guests come in firing on all cylinders. I got to remember that, and I got to remember to really stump them in the future.
All right, well,
next time I'm going to do like Brock.
All right, well, here we go. It's time for a brand new segment, everybody.
No, like the gym leader from Pokemon.
Oh, Brock, not Barack Obama. All right, I was like, whatever game he was in. All right,
but we
have
a brand new segment actually today. I was kind of hoping you weren't going to do Riddle Me This because they're a little similar, but they're not. So they're, that was really fast, so it's okay.
Shit.
We're going to call this one the Wiki Dive, and here's how this works. I'm on a video game character's Wikipedia page. I'll start reading you their backstory, and you stop me when you know who it is.
Okay.
I like this.
All right, ready?
Wait, so I'm supposed to, the second I know, I have
to tell Croft.
Tell me to stop. As soon as you know, just tell me to stop. Tell me who it is. Ready?
All right. Shit.
Introducing the first. All right. I'm going to
try
games.
To, or is it just Dan?
You can try to. And I'm going to tell you the names of the games, but the character's name I'm going to change.
Oh, that's okay.
Or do you want me to leave the game at? Do you want me to leave the game name at?
I feel like that would be too many hints.
Okay, I'll take the game name at too. Introducing the first game of the series is a Chinese Shaolin Kung Fu fighting monk. His main fighting style is Jeet Kune Do, and he has experience with Kung Fu. He enters the 10th titular tournament in order to protect Earthrealm from being destroyed.
It's kind of like a Mortal Kombat.
After having lost the previous 9 tournaments.
Scorpion.
Nope. He defeats Grand Champion
Sub-Zero.
Nope. He defeats the Grand Champion Goro 10-10. And the tournament
Yamcha.
Host.
Goku Raiden.
Nope. And emerges as the new Mortal Kombat champion.
I don't know the Mortal Kombat
character. In 1993 sequel, Mortal Power Kombat Blast. 2, he finds many of his Shaolin brethren killed in a vicious attack by
the announcer.
The announcer. All right, wait.
Who's the main one? Throws a fireball.
Okay, I mean, you're right.
Wait, Lux, tell us who it is.
Dan functionally got it. It's Liu Kang.
Liu Kang!
Oh, okay. All right. Yeah. Dan got it.
All right, well,
cool.
I like this because it's going to be unlistenable. I'm screaming over what you're saying.
I like it because of that, and I also like it because there's so many weird proper nouns, and I also like it because other ones are going to have the game title in them less because I forgot the tournament's also called Mortal Kombat, which made it a lot harder to do the paragraph. Anyway,
Lux, you're doing great, baby.
Thanks, man. I really appreciate that.
I loved it.
So, Dan, you've been a fucking rad guest. It's been awesome having you, man. And can you tell the people where, if they want to get more, and I'm sure they will, where they can do so?
Yeah, where can they get more?
Yeah, you can get more. Duddy. Let me tell you. So this is why I came on the Bachelor Zone podcast.
Yes.
I do a podcast about The Bachelor and Bachelorette. You could find us on SoundCloud, iTunes, all those cool places, the podcast app, all those cool places where you find podcasts, probably like this one. And if you're really into The Bachelor, we do a great breakdown, make it a little bit funny, make it a little bit analytical. You could also find me on crack.com. You could also find me on Pack Theater, Sketch Night. Gunslinger is the name of my team, the second Wednesday of every month. Guys, thanks so much for having me on.
Thank you so much for coming.
This guy's a fucking professional, man.
Yeah, he's so much better than we are. Like, Griffin, why don't you show how much better he is than we are?
We let him out of the cage, and I'm not doing fine. I'm not doing fine. I'm feeling very intimidated.
I thought I could get that twice, 2 episodes in a row. I was really excited.
Whoa, I almost fell on my chair. I can't do this podcast.
Doing not fine.
Follow me at Shut Up Griffin. Follow us at Game Boys Pod. And play Hollow Knight on the Switch. I get 5% of every sale.
Ooh, shit. I'll do it.
It would be so much money. All right. Well, you can find me on Twitter at ML Surfboard. Definitely like and definitely subscribe and review the podcast. Give us 5 stars. Write a little review. That would really help get us eyeballs on the show. You can also like the Facebook page, Game Boys Pod at Facebook. And if you want any of my other stuff, the Not Even a Show prank show is on YouTube and Not Even a Show. And the Wisecrack stuff is all on the Wisecrack YouTube channel as well. And Party World Wrestling's coming back soon. So check that on Facebook. But that will be all. Thanks again, Dan. And thank you, Griffin, for doing what you do every week.
note taken.
I'm Lux. I'm your host. Your co-host is Griffin Davis. Your guest is Dan Duddy. Your editor is Haley Clement. Your intro and outro music is by Matthew Morton. Your art is by Brittany Metz. Goodbye, Internet. We love you very much.
League of Legends. Or what's the voice for League of Legends? What would it be like?
I don't even know.
League of Legends.
That's good.
That's more combat, I feel like. League of Legends is like, League of Legends.
Like, yeah, that's the best to go.